This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. In the deadliest reported firefight since the fall of Saddam Hussein's regime, U.S. soldiers fought back coordinated attacks Sunday using tanks, cannons, and small arms in running battles throughout the northern city of Samarra. The troops killed 46 Iraqi fighters, and 5 Americans were wounded. Minutes later, 2 South Korean contractors were killed nearby in a roadside ambush in what U.S. officials called a new campaign aimed at undermining international support for the U.S.-led occupation of Iraq. Attacks on Sunday killed 7 Spaniards, 2 Japanese diplomats, and a Colombian oil worker. Iraqi scientists never revived their long-dead nuclear bomb program and, in fact, lied to Saddam Hussein about how much progress they were making before U.S.-led attacks shut the operation down for good in 1991, Iraqi physicists say. Before that first Gulf War, the chief of the weapons program resorted to blatant exaggeration in telling Iraq's president how much bomb material was being produced. 7 months after a U.S.-British invasion toppled Saddam's Ba'ath Party government, Iraqi scientists have grown more vocal in countering Bush administration claims used to justify the war that Baghdad had reconstituted nuclear weapons development and that it once was a mere 6 months from making a bomb. Estimates of post-Thanksgiving retail sales ranged yesterday from flat to modest, leaving many merchants hoping that things would pick up later in the season. A spokesman for the National Retail Federation said this year's weekend after Thanksgiving was on a par with last year. He said he expected exponential improvement in sales before Christmas, an increase that would result in the Federation's forecast of 5.7% higher holiday sales this year. A senior analyst for the MPD Group, a market research firm, more generously estimated the sales total for Friday and the weekend at 3 to 4% higher than last year's, but that rate of growth was still far below one widely quoted estimate for last year's 3-day shopping weekend of more than 12% growth over 2001. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
German police have arrested a shoplifter who aroused suspicion by waddling through a supermarket with 177 cigarette packets in his trousers. The thief, in his 20s, was helped by 3 accomplices who formed a protective shield by holding newspapers in front of the man in his bulging trousers. Staff alerted police, who arrested the 4 as they attempted to transfer the loot into their car. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a mini remote control Napa delivery truck, which is $14.99. This is the good stuff. At only 1.5 inches tall, this amazing little truck has working headlights, a Napa hat that lights up, and roaring engine sounds. And you can steer it in any direction, including forward and reverse. So make someone happy this holiday season. Come to Napa.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Hallelujah and Hosanna, shout the little rosy scenarios in Washington and on Wall Street, pointing to a recent tiny uptick in job creation. They exclaim that this is proof that Bush's economic policies are a phenomenal success. The boom is back. Uh-huh, say the people out here in the real world, asking wearily. A boom for whom? Little smiley face statistics can't cover up the harsh job reality faced by most folks these days. A reality of no work, payless work, or overwork. Start with no work. Nearly 9 million Americans are officially unemployed. This doesn't include those who are so discouraged by the debilitating search for work that they've given up looking. They simply don't get counted. Neither do those who might get a one-day odd job during the month. They're actually treated as being fully employed. Nor does it count those who bravely insist that they're now self-employed, yet they have no paying work. It also doesn't count those who are working part-time but need a full-time job, or those who've only been temporarily hired for, say, this holiday season and will be let go January 1st. Then there's payless work. These are the millions who've been Walmarted. Technically, they have jobs, but the pay is so low that they live in poverty with no health care, pension, or job security. More and more industries, from service to high tech, are saying that this is America's work future. Get used to it, they say, which leaves us with overwork. This includes those of you who have to take two or three low-paying jobs, working days and nights just to cover your bills, as well as those of you working in downsized companies with too few employees to do the work, meaning you have to work longer hours and on weekends. Balk, and you get the boot. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget what politicians and economists say. We'll know there's a real recovery when everyone has a good job at good wages with good benefits. Everything else is a lie.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live and in person, coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite system, stream 145, and broadcasting all around the world, 91 countries and counting, on various internet radio stations, radiopower.org, iamericaradio.com, live365.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find it all at tomhartman.com on the internet, where you'll also find a link to our chat room, where you'll find some of the most fascinating, insightful, intelligent, thoughtful, sometimes funny, sometimes a little odd, sometimes sexy, conversation on the internet. And you just go to tomhartman.com and click on the chat link. Takes you to a CompuServe chat room or a CompuServe forum. You click the chat button and it drops you into the chat room. In our first hour here, I want to get into, has Congress become the vending machine for payoffs to special interests, a.k.a. corporations, and their wealthy donors? And in our second hour, we're going to talk about, are we returning to the Middle Ages? I mean, is it a possibility that we may be going back to a time when most people are actually illiterate? And what are the consequences of that for democracy? What can we do about it? How has this administration set out to destroy our public schools with the No Child Left Behind program? There's a word. it's a mandate. It's a law, but it's a Trojan horse is what it is. And in our third hour, I've got a great Berlusconi alert for you. Silvio Berlusconi up to his old tricks. They've nailed. You know, there's only one of the four television networks in Italy. There's only one he doesn't own. That's the one that's controlled by the state, which he's the head of now, being the prime minister. He owns the other television networks, the other three. And the state-run television dared to run a program that had a satire about his party, this right-wing party in it. And boom. Well, I'll tell you about it in our third hour. Anyhow. Lots of stuff. Did you see the Reagans last night? That was fascinating. I was frankly not expecting what I saw, given all of the Strom and all the storm and fury that was being put out by the right wing, the rabid right wing in the media. And I finally figured out along about the third hour of the show why these right-wingers have been so rabid about it, and why probably faux news had led the charge. because the thing, the third hour, they bring out that you know that Ollie North came up according to my understanding of what I saw on this TV show. That Ollie North had some role to play in hatching this idea to trade missiles for hostages with the Iranians while we were supporting Saddam Hussein of Iraq in a war against Iran, and that the Iranians then blew the lid on the deal when they discovered that they had been sold something like $18 million worth of, or $16 million worth of missiles for $30 million, and they wanted a $14 million refund. But it turned out that a bunch of the money was missing, like millions, more than $10 million, as I recall, was missing. Where did it go? Well, nobody knows. Ollie North had it last, or was handling it. And $4 billion of it, or $4 million of it, went to the Contras, but there's a bunch of millions of it that are just kind of missing. And there's a scene in the movie where, is it Deaver or... No, it wasn't. It was, anyhow, one of Reagan's aides is got North in the hall, and he's, you know, poking his finger in his chest and telling him he's gonna go down in flames. He's gonna take the heat for this thing. And Ollie North did not come out well in this movie. That's the bottom line. And so Ollie North, being the new darling of Fox News, I mean he's their new star, their star commentator. He retired from radio to go work for Fox TV, Fox News Network. And they portray him in this movie essentially as a traitor, as somebody who's willing to break the law and behave in a way that is destructive to the interests of the United States. So along with that, I got to share with you a couple of sentences from Barbara Honegger's book October Surprise, which is about the 3 months that led up to the election in which Reagan and Bush defeated Jimmy Carter, and in which she alleges that George Bush Sr., had cut a deal with the Iranians to hang on to the hostages so that the hostage issue would harm Carter and Reagan and Bush would get elected. And that's exactly what happened. Carter was way ahead. Everybody thought Reagan was a right-wing kook. He could never get elected. There was no way. And in the last 2 months, he pulled way ahead because Carter was just kind of standing around wringing his hands about these hostages, asking the nation to pray and put up yellow ribbons and things. And he was seen as indecisive, incapable of handling a crisis. And Reagan came in and said, you know, well, kick their butts is what we'll do. And the hostages were released at the moment that Ronald Reagan got sworn in. You know, it was like payback. Here you go. Thank you. And she lays it all out. And then at the very end of the book, epilogue, A Kinder, Gentler Nation, the very end of Barbara Honegger's book. And Barbara Honegger, by the way, in 1980, Barbara Honegger was part of the Reagan-Bush presidential transition team. In 1981, she worked in the White House Office of Policy Development as a research and policy analyst. Her last employment in Washington was with the Department of Justice. Okay. She wrote this book, October Surprise. Did the Reagan-Bush election campaign sabotage President Carter's attempts to free the American hostages in Iran? It's out of print right now. In fact, it vanished right after it came out. The publishing company was bought up and then closed. But you can still find copies of it on the Internet. Anyhow, I got to just read you a couple of paragraphs here. This is Barbara Honegger. President Reagan signed intelligence authorizations in 1984 and 1985, which were considered, quote, licenses to kill, end quote, according to top government officials. As we have seen, Oliver North and Amir Nir's U.S.-Israeli covert operations were authorized by a still-secret accord never revealed to the Congressional Intelligence Committees as required by law, which may have also authorized political assassinations in the name of counterterrorism. We have seen that Vice President George Bush met with Amir Nir in Israel in late July 1986, when he could have signed the accord with Israeli Prime Minister Peres, for whom Nir worked. Author Seymour Hersh has charged Oliver North with being President Reagan's assassination planner. We have reviewed reports that North boasted that anyone who leaked or threatened to reveal the administration's secret Iran initiative would be killed, and that some of the North Secord Hakim team were reportedly involved in political assassinations under the umbrella of counterterrorism. Given this context, it is instructive to note what has happened to many of the individuals who were reportedly involved in or knew about secret negotiations between Iran and the 1980 Reagan-Bush campaign, this being, you know, where they sabotaged Carter, and or secret U.S. arms deliveries to the Khomeini regime in the early 1980s. And then she goes through this list of 30-some-odd people who died mysteriously immediately after the Iran-Contra stuff came out into the press. And the first on the list, dead, William Casey. Now, Bill Casey was in the movie last night. He was always whispering to Reagan. And they actually show in the movie, the Reagan movie, this segment where at the Casey is being called, well, I'll just read it. William Casey, CIA director, who reportedly attended meetings in Paris, France on October 19th and 20th, 1980. In other words, he was, according to Honegger, he was in on the deal with George Bush to arrange with the Ayatollah to hold the hostages so that the election would be thrown to Reagan. Okay. William Casey, CIA director, who reportedly attended meetings in Paris, France on October 19 and 20, 1980, with Iranian officials and agents of French intelligence to arrange an arms-for-hostages delay deal with Iran. The morning of his first scheduled under oath testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee on the secret Iran initiative, he was struck by seizures in a CIA headquarters office in Langley, Virginia, and underwent speech incapacitating left brain surgery shortly thereafter. This is a variation on the old cut out their tongue. Cut out the part of their brain that controls speech. Had he lived to testify, according to lifelong friend and counsel Milton Gould, his lawyer, Casey would have told, quote, the entire truth, end quote. He died on May 6th, 1987. In other words, he went in, he had this surgery, they took out the part of his brain that allowed him to speak, and a few weeks or a month or so later, he was dead. So, anyhow, watching the movie The Reagans just brought it all back, and I had forgotten that the economy under Reagan was worse than it had been since the Great Depression. Of course, it's, you know, here we are again. Now it's worse than even it was under Reagan. And I guess I had repressed a lot of that stuff about Ollie North and all that stuff. And it's just quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. And it wasn't trashing Reagan, by the way. You came away from that movie thinking that this was a very nice guy who really believed what he was saying, was really into it. Yeah, he took some, you know, he took advantage of his opportunities, made a few bucks where he could, became president of the United States, governor of California. But that he was sincere. He was a sincere, nice guy. And that his wife, while she was emotionally distant from her kids, was absolutely devoted to her husband. Yeah, I mean, it was a portrayal of these people as human. I thought it was, frankly, very decent, kind of sweet. It made me actually think somewhat kindly of Reagan, I suppose, assuming that there's some accuracy to it. Anyhow, this has Congress become the vending machine for payoffs to special interests, donors, and the rich? The Financial Times, of London is like the Wall Street Journal of England. It's a very conservative business publication, a daily newspaper, and on weekdays, and they are almost always in support of this administration and the conservatives in the British government. And here, this article: for some time now, the U.S. Congress has been steadily abandoning its reputation as a serious legislative forum in the widely understood sense of the term. Instead, it has been transforming itself into a vending machine. This is quite remarkable. This is November 29th. Financial Times. It seems that the task of creating good laws to serve Americans as a whole has become impossibly tedious and complex and far too risky politically. Far better to use the opportunity lawmaking presents to reward the special interests, business, and interested groups that provide the funding necessary to secure a politician's re-election. Into the vending machine go the campaign contributions, and out come neatly packaged pieces of legislation to repay those generous benefactors. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. We'll be right back.
When you purchase or refinance a home, the lender closing cost may add up to thousands of dollars. Well, at Ditech.com, we've cut our closing cost to just $395. It's called the Ditech One Fee. One low fee is all there is. No points or broker fee. The $395 Ditech One Fee. Why pay more? Log on to Ditech.com for terms and license disclosures or call 1-800-DITECH-1. That's 1-800-DITECH-1. Equal housing opportunity.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 1st, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Jeff.
I would like to activate my phone.
Right now, it looks like it has been activated. And are you familiar how to make a call?
No.
All right, let me explain it to you. Whenever you get ready to place a call, there's a white dot button.
Right, it's got a green light flashing right now.
Yeah, right beside it. Whenever you get ready to place a call, you'll press that button, and the system's going to say OnStar ready. You're going to say the word dial.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated cellular phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. So if your cell phone is forgotten, out of range, or has a low battery, you'll have the backup you need to make and receive important calls from the road just in case. Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think that's it for now till I see how I like it. My brother's got it. He said, don't you dare buy a vehicle without it.
Good to hear.
Thank you so much.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Show me a prison. Show me a jail. Show me a prison man whose face is growing pale. And I'll show you a young man with many reasons why. And there but for fortune may go you or I.
Or Rush.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. 1-800, Small Dog Electronics, the Macintosh specialist, 1-800-511-MACS, as in Max, as in Macintosh. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. Today is day 140 in the search for the treasonous traitor in the White House who outed a CIA agent, crashed an entire network and a phony CIA corporation that had been in operation for 20 years, compromised sources, may have led to the death of people around the world. A senior administration official. Are they going to find him?
And I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah. Day 294 in the search for the reason why over 400 of our young men and women have died in Iraq, not to mention some 10,000 to 20,000 Iraqis. Day 294 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 780 in the search for the person who dropped anthrax in the mail to Pat Leahy and Tom Daschle as they were considering and were in a position to stop the Patriot Act. And day 803 in the search for that man whose daddy is business partners with George Bush's daddy, Osama bin Laden. Anyhow, the Financial Times, they go on in full rant mode. The degradation of the world's most important legislative body accelerated this week, and they get into the whole thing about the Medicare bill and how it's really just a giveaway. Prescription drug benefit to the elderly seem to have been subordinated to the desire to hand out paybacks to corporate donors from the pharmaceutical and health insurance sectors. And then they talk about the appropriations package, also filled with yet more legislative gifts to corporate friends. They say, well, you know, they managed to stop the energy package, but it's going to come back up again. And it's just remarkable. I mean, they suggest this. The Financial Times of England is saying, but above all, the public needs to express its outrage at this perversion of the democratic process. Left to themselves, members of Congress will never be persuaded. It must become a serious campaign and political issue. See, this is what Howard Dean should be running on. It is no exaggeration, the Financial Times says in this column, titled Pork Feast. It is no exaggeration, I think it's in an editorial. It is no exaggeration to say that the way the U.S. makes its laws is becoming an international scandal. At a time when the United States is trying to promote the uplifting principles of democracy abroad, its leading politicians are behaving at home in ways that make a mockery of its bold aspirations for the world. Amen. Well said. You know, in our 10 points to take back democracy, number one, human rights are for humans. Corporations are not persons. We must update the 14th Amendment to insert natural before the word persons so corporations can no longer claim the right to lie, the right to hide their crimes, the right to buy politicians and influence elections, and the right to force themselves on communities that don't want them. Number one, we got to get corporations out of politics, get corporate money out of politics, and tell our politicians we'd like them to try being politicians and statesmen rather than whatever it is when people pay you money and you do things. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Extreme close-ups of nature's family relationships may not show the whole picture. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The scientific tree of life is much like a big family tree. It shows how different species are related. This idea has been around for more than 250 years, but the tree of life keeps changing. New findings allow scientists to rearrange branches, or at least some of the twigs. For example, researchers have been looking at small parts of an organism's genetic makeup called ribosomal RNA, but that might be too narrow a focus. Jonathan Eisen, a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland, is using a relatively new approach that takes a broader view. Eisen studies all the genetic material in bacteria to determine how different species are related.
If we look at the entire genetic content of different bacteria and ask how are all of the genes related to all of the genes from another bacteria, do we get the same answer that people got by studying a single gene, this ribosomal RNA? And can we use this study of the whole genome to get a more precise picture of how bacteria are related to each other and how the history of bacteria occurred over time?
Eisen says the organism Microsporidia is an example. It was thought to be an unusual parasite related to humans and plants.
More recently, someone has sequenced the whole genome of one of these organisms, and analyzing all of the proteins from the genome of this organism, people have come to the conclusion that, in fact, this is a fungi. It's nothing unusual at all. The ribosomal RNA gene from this organism was what was unusual.
Gaining a more accurate understanding of nature's linkages has real-world applications. For example, doctors can now use drugs designed to treat fungal diseases to fight Microsporidia infections. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I love a rainy night. So much of the feeling was a sight. I love to feel rain on my face. Taste the rain on my lips. In the moonlight shadow. Showers wash all my cares away. I wake up to a sunny day.
And welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Not a rainy night, but it's a snowy day here in the People's Republic of Vermont. And, in fact, it's kind of like that kind of snow that's almost granular, you know. We're right at 32 degrees, and so it's kind of like raindrops that have frozen. Interesting. We had about an inch of snow over the weekend. It's just beautiful. We had a foot of snow a couple weeks ago, and it's all melted now, and so this is coming back. Anyhow, here we have the Los Angeles, our question for this hour. And by the way, if you have thoughts on this, if you have ideas about what we can do to turn our Congress back into a Congress instead of a vending machine for corporate special interests, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. My idea is that we need to go back to the original idea that the founders had, that was the law of the land in this country up until the end of the 19th and the early 20th century, and that in many ways is still the law of the land. There are still some laws to the, it, certainly it's the philosophy, the underpinning of the law of the land, that our government is created of, by, and for we the people. And that whenever we the people create an institution, whether it's a corporation or a club or a union or a guild or a civic organization or a nonprofit or a hospital or a community or even a government, whenever we create an institution, that institution does not have the rights that we humans have. It has privileges that we decide to give to it and that we can revoke from it, because it's just an institution. It's not a living thing. Yes, it's run by living people. Yes, I get that. But it's not a living thing. It's just an institution. An institution should not have rights. They should not have human rights. They should not have the right of privacy. An institution should not have the right of free speech. An institution should operate within the boundaries that we, the people, decide it should operate within. And since the Reagan era, corporations have risen up and gotten court cases passed, and this is one of the reasons why corporations are so aggressively funding right-wing institutions like the Federalist Society that are inculcating lawyers with the idea that corporations are good, corporations are the salvation of America. Yeah, corporations are great. If you want to make money, wonderful. I've done it. A lot of people have done it. You can make money with a corporation. I recommend it. But what does that have to do with running a government? Nothing. It's like the separation between church and state, which is also breaking down, should be as real as the separation. That model should be applied to the separation between corporations and state. And that is what the founders clearly said. Thomas Jefferson wanted a quote, ban on commercial monopolies to be written into the Constitution. He wanted it to be the third or fourth item in the Bill of Rights. And Madison talked him out of it because he said every state in the Union has laws to that effect. We don't need that in the Constitution. These are states' issues because the word corporation doesn't exist in the Constitution. And therefore, you know, you need the states to legislate this. And the states had these laws. And they can have them again. How do we turn Congress from a vending machine for payoffs to special interests, donors, and the rich back into a legislative body? 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut's on the line. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Great to hear from you again.
Hi, Tom. As a Green Party person, I'd like to recommend this to all those Democrats who are still trying to hold hope to reform their party. Let them start off by saying, this might have to be a grassroots effort, and I doubt somebody like Move On will do it, but tell the Democratic Party that at your convention, you want no corporate sponsorship. That whatever the convention's cost, the people who consider themselves to be Democrats will pony up an extra $10-$20, something along those lines. Instead,
charge
of
admission.
Pardon me?
Just charge admission. You know, do it like the county fair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have good entertainment the other nights, I mean, you know, half the time it's just speeches by different people. You know, put on some rock bands or something
get Cher to sing or something, and you can charge $100 a day for the thing.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, the situation, and still my pet peeve, is as long as the Democratic Party still looks like the Republican Party on these corporate issues, you're going to just fuel us Greens over here saying, you know, it's the same party. It's the corporate party and the special interest. I mean, my pet peeve with, you know, people like Al Gore was the fact that he got up and cried at the convention about how cancer and tobacco had killed his sister, then ran out the door to a big tobacco fundraising effort for him. I mean, that kind of, you know, hypocrisy has got to stop. You know, if Howard Dean wants to really, you know, energize people, true progressives, you know, start with that way. It may take a email campaign from the grassroots local people to start saying this stuff. I mean, my goal ultimately is meaningful and real campaign finance reform, but, you know, it seems that Mr. Kerry and Dean have shot that down, at least for this election, and we won't have it. So start with the convention, saying, you know, no corporate donors, give that money back.
I think it's a great suggestion, Tim.
And
I think
it's a people are going to start email, you know, some of these groups out there and say, you know, we want to be the party that's different. You know, I've segregated myself off, you know, as a Green Party person, and whether it's Nader or another Green that it's going to be running, you know, I'm going to make that protest out there. And I may not win,
sure.
But, you know, there's going to be a difference out there saying we are different. We don't want these corporations to dictate our policy. As long as you've got, you know, the DLC and all these other people just lining up the cash register, essentially undermining what values the Democratic Party still has,
yep.
Then you don't see real change.
I agree.
So if you folks out there, I'll just leave you with this. You know, you want to start now, email your, you know, some of these progressive groups that are out there. I doubt that Move On or some of the leading ones might take up this cause. But if you really want to make the difference, start the grassroots email campaign, pass it on to five other friends and say pass it on to some more.
Well said. Thank you, Tim. Thanks for the call. And you know, Howard Dean has come out with his thing of rather than going out to corporate donors, and although I'm assuming he probably already has corporate donors, who knows. But he said he's trying to raise $200 million, just like George Bush is, although George is probably going to end up with $300 million now. But he's trying to raise $200 million by getting $100 each from 2 million people. And Dennis Kucinich has a similar agenda. And I think these are great starts, and if they simply carry the logic of that through to the convention, that makes perfect sense. And the convention should be self-funding, absolutely self-funding. And anybody who wants to show up at the convention, I mean, they're spending $150 a night for a hotel room, most likely. In some cases, $200 or $300 a night for a hotel room in Manhattan or where are the Democrats holding their convention this year? I think it's L.A. Wherever it is, I mean, they can afford to spend $100 a day to get in the door. They can pay the cost of the thing. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Eric in Nevada's on the line. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yeah, hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. Eric, how about you?
Good. Hey,
what's up?
I was just wondering, I haven't heard much on update on the Joe Wilson's wife. I was just wondering, what is the status of that investigation, do you know, and how can we keep that in the news?
I don't, you know, I'm keeping it in the news simply by talking about it. I mean, I just keep talking about it regularly. As to the status of the investigation, no idea, because it's secret. It's being run by John Ashcroft, you know, by the Justice Department and the FBI. And John Ashcroft, who was, you know, the Karl Rove's best friend, is investigating the possibility that Karl Rove has committed treason. And so I don't think any of us should be surprised that word, not a single word, has leaked out of this investigation.
Yeah.
And or even the fact that it's going on. So other than occasionally calling your local newspaper and saying what's going on with it, you know, mentioning it in chat rooms, things like that. I mean, I mention it on the air every day.
Yeah, I hear that. And I was wondering how can we, I guess we could call our representatives and just make sure that they stay on top of
that's
that,
a good huh? idea. That's a good idea. Here's the telephone number for Congress. Area code 202-224-3121.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, and just give them a call.
Okay. Hey, I used to go to school there across the pond there in Plattsburgh. How's the weather out there right now?
Oh, yeah. It's snowing. It's snowing. It's winter is upon us, Eric.
Yeah.
Thanks
I don't
for the
miss
call.
That. I'm out here in Nevada now.
Yeah, well, I've been out there. It's you got an interesting climate in Nevada.
All right, great show, Tom. Thanks for your help.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for calling. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 17 minutes before the hour. The GOP puts its mark on Congress and the deficit. Did you know this is the first time since 1954 that Republicans have controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House? And boy, are they making the most of it. They are turning our government into a vending machine for favors to corporations. They have just surrendered the United States government to corporate America. And not only that, they've tossed out the window any idea of conservative fiscal policy. Outrageous. 1-800-TALK, yes, their number, 1-800-825-5937. Rob in Florida is on the line. Oh, he hung up. Okay. You got to let me know there, John. A full year of Republican dominance of government has left a legacy rich in conservative triumphs, according to the Los Angeles Times, cutting taxes, building a muscular defense, restricting abortion. But the year has also brought an extraordinary expansion of government power I thought they were the party of small government. I mean, that was the thing that you kept. There were some, watching the Reagans last night, there were actually some great moments from great Reagan speeches talking about how big government is a danger. See, what these guys missed was studying civics in school and understanding that in the Soviet Union, which was the principal adversary, the enemy, as it were, of the United States during the Cold War, during the time that Reagan was president, that in the Soviet Union, big government was the enemy. And the Soviet Union was a dictatorship. It masked itself as a government of the people, but they had phony elections. I mean, it was just, let's call it what it is. It was a dictatorship. As are 52 other governments, or is it 42? I'd have to go back to Mark Palmer's book, Ambassador Mark Palmer. Maybe it's 42. 42 other countries in the world. China is a dictatorship. How is the dictatorship of China different than the dictatorship of Castro? Well, they're willing to sell us cheap labor and invite our corporations in. And the conservatives seem to love that. You know, Nixon opened them up. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES-SIR number. Rob in Florida is back. Oh, and he just hung up again. He must have a bad line, John. Interesting. This is the ironic product of the first full year since 1954. The Republicans have controlled the White House and both branches of Congress. John McCain has not escaped the notice of the senator from Arizona. Senator John McCain on Sunday berated fellow lawmakers for, quote, spending money like a drunken sailor, end quote, and said President Bush was also to blame for pushing the nation toward higher interest rates and inflation. See, that's what's coming from this. That is this economic policy, the fiscal policy of this administration, George W. Bush is going down the same road Ronald Reagan went down and the same road that Richard Nixon went down, which is spend like crazy to hand cash over to the largest corporations, mostly involved in producing military hardware, what Dwight Eisenhower warned about, the military-industrial complex. Hand those folks a lot of cash, government cash. In exchange for that, you get big campaign donations back. And borrow the money to give to them. And at the same time, if possible, cut taxes on the high end, particularly the high end of America, and borrow that money from future generations to give to them in taxes. Which means that our so-called tax cuts are not tax cuts. I mean, whenever you hear the word tax cut, you need to immediately translate it in your brain into tax deferral. Because not only is it not a tax cut, because that tax will have to be paid someday because the cost of government is real. And even if we sell bonds and treasury bills and, you know, IOUs, even if we issue IOUs and we borrow money from all over the world, that bill is still real and has to be paid. So it's a tax deferral. You're going to have to pay it. And not only are you going to have to pay it, you're going to have to pay it with interest. You're going to, and the interest is not all going to be when you have to pay it off. You're going to, tomorrow, you're paying, I mean, whatever your paycheck is for today or tomorrow or this week or this month, whatever your paycheck is, you look at that money that they're taking out. First of all, the average American's share of the defense budget is a little over $3,000 a person. This is the Defense Department that has lost $1 trillion, can't account for it. Speaking of government waste and fraud. And secondly, a not insubstantial chunk of your tax bill is to pay for interest on the loans that Ronald Reagan took out so that he could cut taxes, so that he could pump up the economy in 84 so he could get himself reelected. And you're paying interest on loans that Richard Nixon took out to pay for the Vietnam War. So John McCain starting to sound like a like a statesman. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, here in the Truth Arena, and we will be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. The computerized voting machines in the last election. Our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes...
Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that bumper music, by the way, from Sarah Marlowe. Thought you'd want to know. Some folks occasionally want to know when we run bumper music that's not, you know, classic oldies and things. Sarah Marlowe, great artist. Now we're going to find out if Rob in Florida has been calling just so that I'll say his name on the radio or if he actually has something to say. Rob, thanks for calling. 1-800-TALK-YES. You are on the air.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I am well, Rob. What's up?
Sorry about that mix up there. Actually, no. I wanted to go back to one of your previous callers and to ask you kind of in a general sense, how can we sort of bridge this gap that's going on, I guess, still with the Green Party? And how can we get over maybe these misconceptions? I mean, I heard your caller actually say Ralph Nader or another Green Party candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which of course, as we know, Ralph Nader's never even, you know, joined the Green Party. And how?
Yeah,
how
but he
can
has
we,
run
I mean,
as
how,
president for the Green Party.
No, he's not even a member. And I think that's turned a bit contentious for some Green Party members now. But yeah. But they're still giving him a pass.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I mean, how did he get a pass for all of the investments that he was making at the time, you know, in Raytheon and Halliburton and so forth. How do people like that pull this over on these?
Yeah,
you know, on these
Rob, first of all, I think, you know, people, well, I don't want to defend, you know, it's, yeah, a good point. And frankly, I don't know. I think that the answer, frankly, is for the Democrats to respond to the pressure from the Greens. The Republicans certainly responded to the pressure from the Pat Buchanan faction and moved to the right dramatically.
Sure.
And I think the Democrats need to go back to their original core values, the core values of defending labor, the value of being independent of corporate power and money and influence. This is where Bill Clinton sold them out with his Democratic Leadership Council, and it's a disaster. And I think, you know, I know that Kucinich will take us back from it, Sharpton, maybe Dean will too. We'll see. Thanks for the call, Rob. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Thanks. Thanks for being with us.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Who says
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. In the deadliest reported firefight since the fall of Saddam Hussein's regime, U.S. soldiers fought back coordinated attacks Sunday using tanks, cannons, and small arms in running battles throughout the northern city of Samarra. The troops killed 46 Iraqi fighters, and five Americans were wounded. Minutes later, two South Korean contractors were killed nearby in a roadside ambush in what U.S. officials called a new campaign aimed at undermining international support for the U.S.-led occupation of Iraq. Attacks on Sunday killed seven Spaniards, two Japanese diplomats, and a Colombian oil worker. Bill Janklow, a former four-term South Dakota governor and the state's only congressman, returns to his boyhood hometown Monday to face a trial that may decide his political future. The 64-year-old Republican is charged with speeding, running a stop sign, reckless driving, and manslaughter in an August 16th accident that killed a motorcyclist at a rural intersection in South Dakota. If convicted of manslaughter, he could face up to 10 years in prison, as well as a House Ethics Committee investigation. Estimates of post-Thanksgiving retail sales ranged yesterday from flat to modest, leaving many merchants hoping that things would pick up later in the season. A spokesman for the National Retail Federation said this year's weekend after Thanksgiving was on a par with last year. He said he expected exponential improvement in sales before Christmas, an increase that would result in the Federation's forecast of 5.7% higher holiday sales this year. A senior analyst for the MPD Group, a market research firm, more generously estimated the sales total for Friday and the weekend at 3 to 4% higher than last year's, but that rate of growth was still far below one widely quoted estimate for last year's three-day shopping weekend of more than 12% growth over 2001. More IE American Network news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A Cambodian who found he had forgotten his wallet after filling up his motorbike with gasoline ended up paying for the 3 liters of petrol with his nephew. The New Cambodian newspaper said the 9-year-old had been on a trip with his uncle in March 2002 to try and track down his father. Their motorbike ran out of gas, and after filling up at a roadside stall, the uncle realized he had no money. He left his nephew as a guarantee he would return with the cash. 2 years later, he hasn't returned. But the shop owner has opted to keep the youngster and raise him as her own. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania Combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
Hallelujah and Hosanna, shout the little rosy scenarios in Washington and on Wall Street, pointing to a recent tiny uptick in job creation. They exclaim that this is proof that Bush's economic policies are a phenomenal success. The boom is back. Say the people out here in the real world, asking wearily, a boom for whom? Little smiley face statistics can't cover up the harsh job reality faced by most folks these days. A reality of no work, payless work, or overwork. Start with no work. Nearly 9 million Americans are officially unemployed. This doesn't include those who are so discouraged by the debilitating search for work that they've given up looking. They simply don't get counted. Neither do those who might get a one-day odd job during the month. They're actually treated as being fully employed. Nor does it count those who bravely insist that they're now self-employed, yet they have no paying work. It also doesn't count those who are working part-time but need a full-time job, or those who've only been temporarily hired for, say, this holiday season and will be let go January 1st. Then there's payless work. These are the millions who've been Walmarted. Technically, they have jobs, but the pay is so low that they live in poverty with no health care, pension, or job security. More and more industries, from service to high tech, are saying that this is America's work future. Get used to it, they say. Which leaves us with overwork. This includes those of you who have to take 2 or 3 low-paying jobs, working days and nights just to cover your bills, as well as those of you working in downsized companies with too few employees to do the work, meaning you have to work longer hours and on weekends. Balk, and you get the boot. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget what politicians and economists say. We'll know there's a real recovery when everyone has a good job at good wages with good benefits. Everything else is a lie.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program, where despair is not an option. We have got to get this country moving. We have got to take democracy back out of the clutching fingers of the corporations that have risen up and grabbed our politicians by the throats with their dollars and their media. Time to change! Time to change America. Back into a representative democracy. Now, one of the biggest elements of a true functioning representative democratic, constitutionally limited representative democracy, democratic republic, like we have here in the United States, or we have had in the past, is that its citizens are well informed. When Thomas Jefferson, back in on January 28, 1786, wrote a letter to his friend James Curry and said, "Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost." Our quote for the day. When Thomas Jefferson wrote that letter to James Curry, he was assuming that Americans knew how to read the press. In fact, Alexis de Tocqueville came over to the United States in 1834. In 1836, he published his book, Democracy in America, which from that time up until pretty much the end of the 19th century, for at least 40 years, 50 years, I mean, well after the Civil War, was one of the number one top-selling books in the United States. It was the John Grisham thriller of its day. I mean, it was a huge blockbuster seller. The only two books that came close to it in the 19th century in terms of sales were Uncle Tom's Cabin in the 1850s and Trilby by Demurrier back in the 1880s. And there's a whole interesting story around Trilby, but that's another time for another show. Anyhow, and actually an interesting story around Uncle Tom's Cabin. I mean, just to illustrate the power of of people reading Uncle Tom's Cabin was a novel that Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote about what it was like, what slavery was like from the viewpoint of the slave. And she was a brilliant writer. And her book sold millions of copies. This in a time when the population of the United States was something like a third to a fifth of what it is now. And when Abe Lincoln met Harriet Beecher Stowe after the Civil War had started, she was invited to the White House for some sort of function. She was quite famous by then. I mean, she was the number one best-selling author in America. When Abe Lincoln met Harriet Beecher Stowe at the White House and shook her hand, he said to her, "So you're the little lady who started this war." And he was not speaking facetiously. I mean, it was meant somewhat as a joke, but they both knew that it wasn't. Because many believe that had Uncle Tom's Cabin never been published, the Civil War might not have happened. Because it's so inflamed. Those people in the North who had no contact with slavery. That people who had been sitting on the fence about the abolition movement got active. They got angry. They got out there and of course, the Civil War wasn't entirely about slavery. It wasn't even probably mostly about slavery. And it wasn't a war declared by the South against the North. And there's all those myths and things, you know, but nonetheless, there is some truth, I think, in that. So back in the 1830s, 1834, 25 years before the Civil War, more or less, Alexis de Tocqueville comes over from France. Now, he's an aristocrat, a French aristocrat. His family's got money. He was raised with all the accouterments of, you know, good education, of nice home, castle, a manor house, let's say. He was well known, well thought of. He was in his early 30s at the time. I don't remember the year he was born. It's not 1804 sticks in my head. But in any case, he was in his early 30s in 1834. Maybe it was 1800. And he came over to the... No, in any case, he came over to the United States. And in his book, Democracy in America, this best-selling book, it's still in print today in 2003. In this best-selling book, he observed that Americans were the most well-educated, well-read people on earth. And he was right. There's a whole long thing in one of the chapters. It's been a couple of years since I've read the book. I don't remember which chapter it was or where in the book it was. But there was this whole long thing where de Tocqueville, I mean, basically it was like his six-month travelogue around the United States. Because everybody in the world was like, you know, when the American Revolution first happened, everybody thought, yeah, give them 6 weeks. Yeah, give them a year. They will self-destruct in three. Democracy? You got to be kidding. Self-rule? The people running the government? That's never happened. Well, the Greeks tried it for a while, and look what happened to them. Alexander the Great came and ate their lunch. Not possible. That was the consensus of the world. Then the French Revolution happened, and then it got put down, and Napoleon came to power, and France had another dictator, and they said, see, we told you so. But by the 1830s, there had been the Great Reformation in England in 1832, which was when England essentially really became democratic, when the monarch was no longer appointing the prime minister. The 1832 Reformation in England, you had France becoming essentially a democratic country. Holland, the Netherlands, had for a long time been very close to a democracy, was moving in that direction. Belgium, I think Belgium was still a kingdom back then. In fact, I think it was King Leopold. Anyway, the point is that Europe was becoming more democratic. And now people were saying, you know, how did they do this? How did they do this in America? How did they make a democracy that worked? I mean, obviously it's possible because here it is 40 years later, 50 years later after the American Revolution, and they're still there. And they're still electing people, and they're still having arguments, and they're still having, they got their political parties, and they got their newspapers, and they got their gadflies, and they got all that raucous stuff that is democracy. How do they do it?
And Alexis de Tocqueville came over here and he said, I'm going to figure it out. And somewhere in that book, Democracy in America, there is this long description by de Tocqueville of meeting with a New England farmer, a pig farmer, as I recall. And although back then farmers farmed everything, but this guy had he was covered with and smelled of pig poop, you know. And de Tocqueville talks about this. He describes his experience of meeting this guy. And then he asks this farmer, who seems to be this simple country bumpkin, he asks him a question about international politics. And this farmer goes off on this discourse, this thoroughly learned exposition, this commentary, this insightful, knowledgeable rant about the situation in France. De Tocqueville has a pig farmer in New England lecturing him about French politics. And it's nuanced, and it's detailed, and it's thoughtful, and it's thought-provoking. And de Tocqueville writes about how American democracy... He says there's... I'm doing this from memory, but it's pretty close to correct. He said, I think that an aristocracy can survive without a free press. But in order for a democracy to survive, a free press is essential. You'll find a quote in my book on equal protection. It's been a couple of years. That's pretty close to verbatim. And he was right. Just as Thomas Jefferson, in his letter to James Curry, said, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. But both of them were assuming that everybody could read the press. What happens when a nation reaches the point where its president doesn't read the newspapers? Where, now consider some of these statistics. This is mind-boggling. More than 50% of first-year college students are unable to produce papers relatively free of language errors. People can't write. 80% of graduating high school seniors, this by Kylene Beers, a researcher at Yale University, 80% of graduating high school seniors tell us that they will never again voluntarily read another book. That only around one-third of U.S. public school students are proficient readers. Two-thirds lack sufficient reading ability to comprehend novels, textbooks, and other forms of, quote, complicated writing, end quote. You think a novel is complicated writing? Apparently, Cat in the Hat is not complicated. You know, that's it. And since 1992, we have been, you know, just pouring money into this thing, and scores have not changed. The situation has not changed. And so there's an editorial in today's Montpelier Times Argus, the newspaper of the capital city of the great state of the People's Republic of Vermont, called Language of the Elite. Consider an America where a ruling elite communicates through a written code known only to themselves while the rest of the population stares bug-eyed at a television set. Then consider that the written code is the English language. Are we returning to the Middle Ages where language was only known to the political and social hierarchy, the nobility, while the majority wallow in illiteracy? And if so, why? I'm here to tell you the No Child Left Behind Act is a big piece of the problem that we have. It is the privatization of government, of one of the government functions, education. You know, there's this idea, number two in our list of the top 10 things to do to take back democracy. We own our government and our commons. And part of the commons is our educational system. It is owned by us collectively. And we have an obligation to make it work because we are creating the future of our nation in our schools. And we're not doing the very best job right now. And the solution is not to go in with a hammer. It's not to go in and destroy the schools. It is not to privatize the schools.
The solution is to change the way we're teaching. And we can do that. I mean, I teach workshops on this to teachers. It's not that difficult. These people don't get it. But the biggest problem now is this no left child left behind thing, because it is driving the agenda of education. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From Cheyenne to Chicago, from Buffalo to Bismarck, more cold engines in more cold places start with Heat. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze, America's number one brand for fast cold weather starts. From the Great Plains to the Great Lakes, from the Rocky Mountains to the rocky coast of Maine, whatever state of cold you're in, Heat removes water and prevents gasoline freeze-up. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze. Cold engines start with Heat.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
what's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
When someone makes
makes a move of which we don't approve. Who is it that always intervenes? UN and OAS, they have their place, I guess. But first, send the Marines. We'll send them all we've got. John Wayne and Randolph Scott. Remember those exciting fighting scenes. To the shores of Tripoli, but not to Mississippi. What do? We send the Marines. For might makes right. Until they've seen the light, they've got to be protected. All their rights respected. Till somebody we like can be elected. Members of the Corps all hate the thought of war. They'd rather kill them off by peaceful means. Stop calling it aggression. Ooh, we hate that expression. We only want the world to know that we support the status quo. They love us everywhere we go. So when in doubt, send the Marines.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman. That Tom Lehrer clip, thanks to Brad Walrod, an old friend who sent it to me in email. That's just great. Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our question, are we returning to the Middle Ages, where language was only known to the political and social hierarchy, while the majority wallow in illiteracy? Great article that Trisha in our chat room told me about that's on Common Dreams. It was posted yesterday, apparently. Why Johnny, Shaquilla, and Jose can't read. And I'll share pieces of that with you in just a moment. But first, if you call 1-800-TALK-YES, you can be on our program if you'd like, 1-800-825-5937. And Carl in California has taken us up on the offer. Hey, Carl, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Actually, I had a couple comments about past callers and your past comments.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated out of the Whittier, California school district almost completely illiterate. And in 99, I picked up my first book, 1999, and I read it. I'm a little nervous, first time I've been on the radio.
But
I moved up here after 9/11 just because I got tired of how the government was controlling everything, down to the small cities almost, you know, in the bigger areas. So I moved up here. My father lives up here. And I have to come up to by the river to talk to you because I don't get your radio program in my house. Cause it's pretty rural. I live in the middle of the Redwoods.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
But I just heard on the radio today, because I get my information on the radio, and some of the newspapers that they have up here aren't very good, that California just made it, I guess you'd say, illegal for the citizens to right to bear arms.
I don't know
have
about
you heard
that,
anything
Carl.
About that?
I really don't. I'm wondering how it is that so I can't go there. I'm sorry. I just don't have the details.
Okay.
I'm wondering how it is that you feel that when you graduated from high school, you were illiterate. Why do you think that happened? Was school
that
bad?
It seemed like they just let the kids go by.
Yeah.
A lot of my teachers would just kind of just let it go by, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't even read a book all the way up and through all my 12 grades. I never read one complete book.
How'd you get through?
I guess I squeaked by.
You just listened in class and picked up enough to pass the test?
I'm sorry?
You just listened in class and picked up enough to pass the tests and things?
Pretty much, you know. And but when first books I started reading, I didn't have a dictionary next to me so I could comprehend half of what I was reading.
Mm-hmm. And how are you doing now?
Oh, I'm pretty proficient, and I'm able to, you know, put books together. I could read books and all that stuff, but none of it came through any of the school districts doing.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You can't force people to get excited about learning, but once they do get excited about learning, you can't stop them from learning, and that's the lesson that our schools need to learn, is that it's not about you know, shoving information down their throats or creating nice little robots on an assembly line. It's the old quote from, what's his name? Anyway, the quote was, education is not the filling of the bucket. Education is the lighting of a fire. And we need to help our teachers figure out how to light fires under our kids rather than trying to fill buckets. We need to change the paradigm of education in America. And the Leave No Child Behind Act is doing the exact opposite. Thanks for your call, Carl. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some clams dig deep to survive an invasion of foreign crabs. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The European green crab first came to North America in the 1800s in the ballast of sailing ships. Today, the crab is a major problem along the northeastern coast of the United States. It eats just about anything it can get its claws on. That includes a valuable shellfish called the softshell clam. It appears that some of the native clams get away from the foreign crab by digging deep into the mudflats where they live. Lindsay Whitlow is an ecologist at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine. He compared the shells of clams that were collected recently with shells that were stored in museums. The museum specimens were collected before the green crab became a problem. Whitlow says the clams have physically changed to be able to burrow more deeply into the mud. The changes protect them from green crabs, but they also make it harder for the clams to reach the microscopic plants they eat themselves. Whitlow says they now grow more slowly, and that has implications for people who harvest the clams and sell them.
In order to maintain a population of clams, most states regulate what size you can harvest them at. So they have to reach 2 inches before it's legal to pull them out of the mud. And so you can imagine that if they're a bunch of green crabs, not only are there going to be fewer clams, but it's going to take these clams longer to reach that harvestable size, so there'll be maybe even fewer clams available that clammers can take in and make a living on, and that people will have to eat in the summertime.
Whitlow says some towns along the East Coast are trying to rebuild local populations of softshell clams. They're trying to raise them in hatcheries and protect them in the wild with nets. But Whitlow says European green crabs are just one problem for the native clams. He says their survival also depends on the overall health of the coastal marine ecosystem. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Will you come down from your ivory tower? You will see how it really must be. When you come down, down, down from your ivory tower, you will see.
Welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. If you have a Macintosh, want a Macintosh, need a Macintosh fixed, want to buy a Macintosh, anything to do with Max, just want some ideas or suggestions or advice, give them a call, 1-800-511-MACS. That's 1-800-511-6227. Tell them Tom Hartman sent you. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888, that is as in 888,
EcoWine, E-C-O-W-I-N-E, if you are interested in drinking wine without pesticides and chemicals and all those sorts of things. It's amazing. In France, for a vineyard, this is French wine, by the way. It's imported from France, so you're supporting those folks who are being harmed by Bill O'Reilly's boycott. And in France, in order for a vineyard to be certified organic, it has to be 25 years without any chemicals in the soil. Absolutely remarkable. 1-800-888-ECO-WINE. Howard Dean says states should refuse No Child Left Behind money. We'll get into that after a couple of calls. We've got Rama in Santa Fe on the line. Rama, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. And you are... Oh, Rama has hung up. But we have Gary in Missouri then. Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tom. Yeah, I just listened to the previous caller talking about education or the lack thereof in the school system. I was a college dropout back in the early 70s, and when I returned three years later, I was considered by my peers as being an intellectual for the simple reason that I was reading Harry Truman's memoirs. I guess if you're into reading something that isn't required by your classes, you're considered intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I remember when you said education lighting a fire under somebody, a person by the name of Marva Collins. I don't know if you've ever heard of her or not. She was a school teacher in the slums of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Who took all these kids who were basically flunking out of school and basically lit a fire underneath of them. And they turned out to be, you know, just, you know, A-plus students after that. She lit the fire, and parents complained and says they had to dig their kids out at 2 and 3 in the morning. They were reading books with a flashlight under the cover.
Well, it was the same thing in New York State with John Taylor Gatto, who ended up quitting the system and writing a book basically saying, get your kids out while they're still intact and homeschool them. And John Taylor Gatto was the New York State Teacher of the Year. And in California with Jamie Escalante, they made the movie Stand and Deliver about him, and he left education as well. It's a real tragedy. It's a real tragedy, and it's
probably the only Achilles heel we have in the whole American democratic process. Is it depends on an educated electorate. Which is one thing I learned from my physics teacher.
Yeah, absolutely, and the whole con agenda seems to be to let's destroy that. Let's go back to a caste system. If you go back and you look at Russell Kirk's 1953 book, The Conservative Mind, and his whole his reinvention of modern conservatism, he was echoing the idea that John Adams had and that Alexander Hamilton had, the early American conservatives, that we should have a ruling class and a working class, and that the ruling class should be literate and the working class should have whatever they need to be able to cash a check, and that's it. And the conservatives are doing their best to destroy public education. They're trying to bust up the unions. They're trying to bust up the schools. They're dissing public, and it sounds maybe like I'm doing the same thing. I'm dissing public education. I'm not here to say we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, that we need to destroy a public education system, but we do need to fix it. And the conservative bandwagon of this No Child Left Behind thing is a disaster. They took a great idea from Teddy Kennedy and turned it into a Trojan horse. Rant
that's
finished.
The truth.
Yeah. So, anyhow, Gary, thanks for the call.
Thanks very much, Tom. Bye.
Thanks, but I appreciate your calling in. Howard Dean. Refuse No Child Left Behind money. Democratic presidential hopeful Howard Dean on Sunday urged states to reject federal No Child Left Behind funding and said he would if he was still governor of Vermont. And this is absolutely true. I can tell you I've written 8 books now on attention deficit disorder and education, and I have spent a decade traveling across the United States and Europe teaching, doing trainings, what are called in-service trainings for schools. I'm the president of the board of directors of the Hunter School, which is a private school in New Hampshire for children with ADHD. HunterSchool.org is the website. And it's a great nonprofit organization. And I'm familiar with the situation in public education, not to mention the fact that I had 3 kids go through the whole system. One of them is still in it. He just started working on his master's degree at the University of Georgia. And you know, we've seen it. We've seen it from the inside. We fought it. We homeschooled one of our kids. We sent one of our kids to a private school, and one of our kids went all the way through public school. And I've seen all of them. I've seen their, you know, warts and all. And you look at this system with this No Child Left Behind, and it is an absolute disaster. Howard Dean is right when he says, and I quote, "It," that being the No Child Left Behind money that is coming from the feds to the states, "is going to cost them more in property taxes and other taxes than they are going to get out of it." He said if he had been governor, Vermont would have been the first state to turn down that money. This is something he told Merrimack High School teachers in Manchester, New Hampshire. Dean criticized President Bush, saying his administration would lower the standards for good schools in New Hampshire and around the nation, making them more like poorly performing schools in Texas. Remember where we just learned a month or so ago that was it Rod Page, Bush's education secretary, used to be the head of a school in Houston that was like the top performing school in America. And so Bush says, we're going to bring him to Washington, D.C. to do for the rest of the country what he did for Houston. And then it turns out that all the numbers were scam. They were faked. They were using Enron accounting in Houston to calculate the test scores and to come up with the averages. And in fact, this school was one of the worst schools in the nation. And that's the guy who's playing the tune that the educators across America are supposed to dance to. The Bush administration believes, according to Howard Dean, quote, "the way to help New Hampshire is to make it more like Texas," end quote. And he says that with this No Child Left Behind program, every school in America by 2013 will be a failing school. Illiteracy has a significant impact on the economy. The Nation's Business Magazine estimated 15 million Americans, adults, holding jobs today are functionally illiterate. In Florida, the way the No Child Left Behind thing works is they mandate that you have to test your kids. And to get these tests, you have to go to these corporate campaign donors to the Republican Party. You can do a little bit of research on the Internet. There's three large companies that sell tests to schools. And one of them, and I got this out of a report that Jim Jeffords gave me back when this thing was being pushed through, and he left the Republican Party over this issue. And this was from a congressional research, you know, an agency that only does research for congressmen and senators. And they looked into this thing. And what they discovered was that this largest corporation that sells tests in America did $400 million in business last year. Not last year, but the year before No Child Left Behind was passed into law. And that the No Child Left Behind law was going to require schools to buy an additional $400 million worth of tests from this corporation, turning this corporation, whose CEO was politically active and a campaign donor to politicians, turning this corporation overnight from a $400 million company to an $800 million company. And when that kind of growth comes from printing paper, we're not talking about some dramatic increase in productivity. We're not talking about lots and lots of new jobs. We're not talking about inventing something new. We're talking about they call up their printer and say, print an extra 40,000 tests and mail them, you know, drop ship them to these schools. It's very profitable. It costs a few pennies to print a test. They can sell them for $10, $20, $30, $50, in some cases $100. And that's what No Child Left Behind is all about. You have to buy the tests. And then you have to go into a federal scoring system. And if your school fails 2 years in a row to meet the standards that are set, then you have to, your school has to pay for it, give all the children in your school the option of attending some other school and pay for the transportation. Well, what happens is those kids then go to some other school, and now that school's failing. And 2 years later, it has to give them the option of going to some other school and pay for the transportation, so they get sent back to the first school. The thing is a joke. It's Enron bookkeeping in education. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Judy in Illinois is on the line. Judy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What do you think about this?
I think it just shows the corruption in the government. Wasn't one of the Bush brothers connected with one of those education companies.
Yeah, there's a big thing right now. Neil Bush, the one who brought us the Silverado savings and loan meltdown, and made out very well from that, thank you very much. When, as I recall, when his daddy was president or vice president, Neil Bush, in his divorce, it has come out that he has started this new company, I think it's called Excite or something like this, down in Texas, to you know, an educational services company selling products to schools, and that he had some Oriental, some Asian, some guy from Indonesia, as I recall, or Malaysia, put $2 million, as I recall, I have to go back and find the news story, into his company when every single business that this guy has owned has failed.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we are being
they,
robbed.
Well, they asked this guy, why'd you give him $2 million? And he said, because he's the president's brother.
Right.
Yeah. This is the most corrupt administration in the history of the country.
I think it's historical. I think it's even worse than, the previous corrupt presidents that we've had. I think it's even more than that.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States.
A lot of the education systems in the country are failing because money is going elsewhere. It's going to private and religious schools. It's for busing. It's going to defense. It's going everywhere but where it should be going. Plus, the parents. I blame, your children, when they go to school, the teachers can only teach them so much, but there also has to be involvement with the home and the parents. And if the parents can't do it, maybe we should have tutoring, public tutoring.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that schools can do
mm-hmm.
to make it easier not even easier for kids to learn, to excite kids about learning, to get them
right.
interested in learning.
Well,
and the worst thing that you can do is...
Kids can't learn when they don't get in. Don't care if they learn. Their parents are too busy holding down jobs to help them learn. They're hungry, etc. You have to take care of these needs.
Yeah,
and
these are all very real problems, Judy. Judy, thanks for the call. I got to move along. I got a couple other callers here. But the biggest problem is that we are moving more and more toward a 19th century. Create kids for the factories model of education that didn't work then. Well, it did work sort of then when you were just trying to create mill workers. Doesn't work now. And teaching to the test is the worst thing you can do. You want to train a child to hate education and hate reading? Teach them to the test. Teach them, have them memorize and drill memorization into them, and you will have an education system in ruins. 1-800-TALK, yes, Doug in California on the line. Hey, Doug, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. I was just calling about the caller called about the California education system.
Yes.
And I have a friend of mine in California, and she's got a 16-year-old daughter that, as far as I'm concerned, needs extra help and it should be flunking out of school, but they just continue to pass her on through the grades.
Yeah.
She spends a summer in summer school, and they pass her up. I mean, she failed 3 out of 5 subjects last year, went to summer school for 1, and passed. And she's a junior
yeah.
now.
Doug, have you ever known a kid who doesn't learn how to talk or walk?
No.
Yeah, setting aside neurological damage, it just doesn't happen. Children are learning machines. We need to stop. In the 1970s, we came up with this term, educational disability or learning disability. And with that one little phrase, learning disability, we transferred responsibility for education off the shoulders of adults and on to 7-year-olds. This 16-year-old you're describing, she hasn't failed to learn. What has happened is that the school system has failed to provide her with an environment in which she can learn, because children are learning machines.
Right. Well, I'm originally from New York, and I graduated in 1987 from New York. And they have the Regents diploma and tests and stuff like that, but as you said, teaching to the test. But there was more freedom. I mean, I had a couple of specific teachers that got me excited about learning. It wasn't the system, it's the teachers and the way they got the freedom and to, make things exciting and interesting and show you how it affects the rest of your life. You know what I mean? A lot of kids,
yeah.
like this girl, she doesn't think history matters or, science matters because she doesn't want to do that for a living. Well, you need to know that stuff, in my opinion. And it has to be, if you don't like something, you have to make it exciting.
Yeah, this is not rocket science, Doug. This is not a secret. If you want, you know, there are Montessori schools all over America and Steiner Waldorf schools all over America that are doing very well, thank you very much. And it's not just because they're taking smart kids there or kids who are already on the course. You know, there are ways to teach. And the problem that we have is that the more that the conservatives get involved in this thing, the more they get into this thing of it's got to be the iron fist, it's got to be the test, and it's just extremely destructive. Thanks for your call, Doug. Dan in Nebraska, hang on the line through this break if you can, and I'll pick up your call on the other side of it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, telling the truths that multinational corporations don't want you to know. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Oh,
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
So they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. And we're talking about, are we returning to the Middle Ages where language was only known to the political and social, well, where reading a social hierarchy while the majority wallow in illiteracy? Dan in Nebraska's on the line. Hey, Dan, your thoughts on this?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I am well. And you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I just had a thought here just before I went online. I was thinking here that... You know, I can tune into you every day, and for free, absolutely free, I get this truth, this wonderful truth coming out of my speakers on my on the Internet here, but yet I have to pay to get CNN and Fox and all these knotheads to tell to lie to me all the time. Why is that?
Boy, that's wrong. There's something wrong with my business model, I guess.
Maybe that's it. You're not charging enough. Anyway, I have a question that maybe you can you can confirm or debunk. I've heard that the average school only receives about 5% of their funding in government money, and yet it creates about 95% of the paperwork. Is that true?
You mean federal government spending?
Yeah.
Frankly, I don't know. I do know that there's a lot of paperwork involved or associated with federal government money. But, you know, the amount of the percentage of money that's coming to school, I just don't know. I would be very suspicious of those numbers.
Okay. I was just wondering. It didn't sound real right to me either, but it,
no.
I've heard it from a couple different places. And another
That doesn't mean it's true. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of vanishing hitchhiker stories running around out there.
Yeah, another quick one here. My wife is a teacher in Iowa, and they have recently more or less grouped all of the handicapped in, well, she's a music teacher, and all of the handicapped into one class to take music. And, I mean, this is the kids in the wheelchair that their mind is fine. And the,
we're just
and
about all, out of time here, Dan.
Okay, I'll do it quickly. And also the kids that are mentally, have mental problems. Well, the mental problems disrupt the whole class, and these poor kids in the wheelchair are getting nothing out of it. And it's really sad. I think that's one of our government programs.
Yeah, well, you know, there is the will to change, and I'm telling you, I work in these school districts, and the schools are desperate for change. The teachers want change, and you know, we have to work for it. We have to work for it as a society. We have to have a consensus. Dan, thanks for the call from Nebraska. I truly appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Integrity and passion in broadcasting truth.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hear
heard that. Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. In the deadliest reported firefight since the fall of Saddam Hussein's regime, U.S. soldiers fought back coordinated attacks Sunday using tanks, cannons, and small arms in running battles throughout the northern city of Samarra. The troops killed 46 Iraqi fighters, and five Americans were wounded. Minutes later, two South Korean contractors were killed nearby in a roadside ambush in what U.S. officials called a new campaign aimed at undermining international support for the U.S.-led occupation of Iraq. Attacks on Sunday killed seven Spaniards, two Japanese diplomats, and a Colombian oil worker. Iraqi scientists never revived their long-dead nuclear bomb program and, in fact, lied to Saddam Hussein about how much progress they were making before U.S.-led attacks shut the operation down for good in 1991, Iraqi physicists say. Before that first Gulf War, the chief of the weapons program resorted to blatant exaggeration in telling Iraq's president how much bomb material was being produced. 7 months after a U.S.-British invasion toppled Saddam's Ba'ath Party government, Iraqi scientists have grown more vocal in countering Bush administration claims used to justify the war that Baghdad had reconstituted nuclear weapons development and that it once was a mere 6 months from making a bomb. Estimates of post-Thanksgiving retail sales ranged yesterday from flat to modest, leaving many merchants hoping that things would pick up later in the season. A spokesman for the National Retail Federation said this year's weekend after Thanksgiving was on a par with last year. He said he expected exponential improvement in sales before Christmas, an increase that would result in the Federation's forecast of 5.7% higher holiday sales this year. A senior analyst for the MPD Group, a market research firm, more generously estimated the sales total for Friday and the weekend at 3 to 4% higher than last year's, but that rate of growth was still far below one widely quoted estimate for last year's three-day shopping weekend of more than 12% growth over 2001. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
German police have arrested a shoplifter who aroused suspicion by waddling through a supermarket with 177 cigarette packets in his trousers. The thief, in his 20s, was helped by three accomplices who formed a protective shield by holding newspapers in front of the man in his bulging trousers. Staff alerted police, who arrested the four as they attempted to transfer the loot into their car. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hallelujah and Hosanna, shout the little rosy scenarios in Washington and on Wall Street, pointing to a recent tiny uptick in job creation. They exclaim that this is proof that Bush's economic policies are a phenomenal success. The boom is back. Uh-huh, say the people out here in the real world, asking wearily. A boom for whom? Little smiley face statistics can't cover up the harsh job reality faced by most folks these days. A reality of no work, payless work, or overwork. Start with no work. Nearly 9 million Americans are officially unemployed. This doesn't include those who are so discouraged by the debilitating search for work that they've given up looking. They simply don't get counted. Neither do those who might get a one-day odd job during the month. They're actually treated as being fully employed. Nor does it count those who bravely insist that they're now self-employed, yet they have no paying work. It also doesn't count those who are working part-time but need a full-time job, or those who've only been temporarily hired for, say, this holiday season and will be let go January 1st. Then there's payless work. These are the millions who've been Walmarted. Technically, they have jobs, but the pay is so low that they live in poverty with no health care, pension, or job security. More and more industries, from service to high tech, are saying that this is America's work future. Get used to it, they say. Which leaves us with overwork. This includes those of you who have to take two or three low-paying jobs, working days and nights just to cover your bills, as well as those of you working in downsized companies with too few employees to do the work, meaning you have to work longer hours and on weekends. Balk, and you get the boot. This is Jim Hightower saying, forget what politicians and economists say. We'll know there's a real recovery when everyone has a good job at good wages with good benefits. Everything else is a lie.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network. Interesting, I read in the newspaper today, the New York Times, I think it was, that there is no live coast to coast progressive talk radio or liberal talk radio. And maybe some of you who are listening will set them straight. Have we now entered the watch what we tell you to watch zone? That is to say, are we stepping into the world that George Orwell envisioned? And if so, what can we do about it? I'd like to start the hour here with a Berlusconi alert. Yes, indeed, folks. The National Anthem of Italy. Silvio Berlusconi, the Prime Minister of Italy. This today from The Guardian, the UK newspaper. Watch what we tell you to watch, with Silvio Berlusconi tightening his grip on Italian TV. Now, last week, Berlusconi's former lawyer was convicted of bribing a judge with cash from a bank account opened by a top executive of the company that sits at the top of Berlusconi's business empire. Berlusconi's business empire, by the way, is that he owns all the television networks, most of the radio networks and several newspapers in Italy. The biggest, of course, is his, I was looking for the name of it here, I'm missing it. Anyway, Silvio Berlusconi owns all three of the largest private channels. Now, and I quote from The Guardian, the prime minister's follower. Now, can you imagine? This guy, he's a mafioso. He's not actually a mafioso, because that has real meaning in Italy. He's a crook. And he runs for political office. And right now, there's this six-month window of immunity. He cannot be prosecuted. The Italian parliament passed a law that Berlusconi can't be prosecuted. Why? Because he's president of the European Union for 6 months. It's a rotating presidency. And nobody wanted the embarrassment of having the president of the EU be indicted for financial crimes. But here's this guy. He was a small-time crook and small businessman. Built his way. He bought a TV station, bought a network, bought a second network, built a third network, bought a radio station, bought a network, built a network. Ends up one guy owning every television network in Italy except the state-run network, which is called RAI. Oh, his company, one of his biggest companies, called Mediaset. And then after he owns all this media, this would be like, for example, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox. If he went out and he bought ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN, and then decided to run for president. Can you imagine? Well, that's what Berlusconi did. And guess what? He won! Surprise, surprise. Yes, indeed, folks. So now, the prime minister's followers and employees can now limit what is shown on the other big state-owned channels. See, the only network that they don't own yet is the Italian equivalent of BBC or public television. That's the only, because it's owned by the government. His TV, and what happened? Last week, on the public television station, there was a TV program of a comedy. It was sort of a laugh-in kind of show, those of you who are old enough to remember that. And there was a skit in it with the comedian Sabina Guzzanti. There was a skit in it that made fun of Berlusconi. You know, sort of like on Saturday Night Live, where they come out and they do imitations of George Bush and have him do silly things. They did a skit that made fun of Berlusconi on public television. And get this. Berlusconi's TV group, this is his network, his biggest network. It's called Mediaset. Announced that it wants 20 million euros, that's about $22 million right now, in damages from Italy's public broadcaster, RAI, and the producers of a satirical program featuring the comedian Sabina Guzzanti. Mediaset, Berlusconi's largest television network, claims it was grossly defamed in the first and only program of what was to have been a series. It says its business suffered as a result. It was also outraged by Ms. Guzzanti's humor. They said she had put on a left-wing rant. Gotta watch out for those left-wing rants. RAI's executives, it has to be said, are in an impossible position. RAI, keep in mind, is like VPI, it's like NPR. Parliament, to which they are ultimately responsible, is dominated by followers of the man who owns their direct competitor and who, as head of the government, is in a position to have laws framed that favor his own group's interests at the expense of the public broadcaster. So what did Mrs. Guzzanti do?
she gets kicked off public TV, right? Because she goes on and she does this. It's supposed to be a series. The first show airs, and boom, they get sued by Berlusconi's network for 20 million euros. Well, she hasn't gotten sued. The network got sued. So she goes off and she does a play. She says, okay, if they're going to take me off TV. No, I'm sorry. She did a play at the auditorium in Rome and by way of satellite link to viewers in other parts of the country. Right? In other words, the show must go on. What happens? Another legal action. She gets sued. Oddly, she was sued by RAI. But, you know, here's the situation. RAI is in this tough bind, and they sued her for doing the second installment of a program that they own, but which they canceled because they just got sued by Mediaset. Figure that one out. Anyhow, the bottom line is Berlusconi owns the media, and the one little tiny piece of the media that he doesn't own, he has been able to intimidate. Now, number one, it's important to know what's going on in Italy. Because if Michael Powell has his way, the same could happen here. And in fact, some would say it already has, where one of the largest networks that owns over 1,000 radio stations is asking its employees to contribute up to 1% of their salary to its political action committee to put on right-wing talk radio. And advocate for it and lobby for it. It's a strange world, my friends, a strange world. What are your thoughts on this? 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Joe in Brookings, Oregon's on the line. Hey, Joe, how are you today? What's up?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, speaking of economic monopolies, like they got to over there in Italy, of course, another word for economic monopoly is fascism. Berlusconi over there in Italy, after all, is a fascist. I would like to talk about the deal with the Bush administration reversing course on the steel tariffs. As far as I'm concerned, what the Bush administration did last year, putting on the steel tariffs, was about the only good thing the Bush administration has done. Hell, I think they didn't go far enough. And, of course, now you got the World Trade Organization, the European Union, saying, oh, no fair, no fair. Steel tariffs are no fair. Talk about, some BS about a trade war or something like that. And, this is the deal with this global economy with the World Trade Organization. Why Dennis Kucinich is right, why we have to get out of it, because they set the rules, and, we can't do anything to protect our jobs while we're
an
organization like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And George Bush has demonstrated to us, I mean, he actually taught us a good lesson when he first came into office, and that lesson was, we don't need no stinking treaties. We pulled out of the AVM treaty, we pulled out of the Kyoto treaty, we can just say to the rest of the world, hey, you can take your treaties and go someplace else. We're going to play our own game by our own rules. And if that's the way that we're going to run it, we don't need GATT and NAFTA and the WTO, and we certainly don't need FTAA. We don't need these treaties. World trade functions just fine, thank you very much, when nations responsible to their elected legislators are in charge of it, rather than the nations having to dance to the tune of multinational corporations that essentially own and run and have equal seating with nations at these international trade bodies like the I forget what they call them, but these courts essentially that NAFTA and the WTO have to settle trade disputes. It's outrageous.
Well, yes, and the figures, the Bush administration would actually do something that I like. They'd wind up reversing it. I seen the Democratic presidential debate last week, And you know, I like Howard Dean. I even kind of think I might even vote for him. His first time I vote for a Democrat since Clinton back in '92. But Dennis Kucinich had to challenge him about what he said about NAFTA and GATT. Well, all we need to do is put on tighter environmental regulations and tighter regulations. You know, the workers get treated right. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that with the WTO. You can't do that with the NAFTA treaty. That's what these treaties are all about, is to keep you from doing that. That's right. Why they came up with these treaties in the first place.
Yeah, they basically steal our sovereignty, and that's what's absolutely wrong with them. We had Joe Trippi on the program from the Dean campaign, and I asked him that straight up, and he said Howard Dean felt that we should bail out of the treaties, but that to do it really rapidly and to advocate it on the campaign trail could both be disastrous. But I think he's starting to figure this out, hopefully, particularly because it's increasingly looking like he might be the Democratic candidate. Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. 1-800-TALK-YES-OR number. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 1st, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Jeff.
I would like to activate my phone.
All right, now it looks like it has been activated. And are you familiar how to make a call?
No.
All right, let me explain it to you. Whenever you get ready to place a call, there's a white dot button.
Right, it's got a green light flashing right now.
Yeah, right beside it. Whenever you get ready to place a call, you'll press that button, and the system's going to say OnStar ready. You're going to say the word dial.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated cellular phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. So if your cell phone is forgotten, out of range, or has a low battery, you'll have the backup you need to make and receive important calls from the road just in case. Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think that's it for now till I see how I like it. My brother's got it. He said, don't you dare buy a vehicle without it.
Good to hear.
Thank you so much.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really? You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you or me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, said he. I never died, said he.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservative. That is a great song by Joan Baez, Joe Hill. Joe Hill was the labor organizer in the late 19th century, as I recall, who was got involved in some sort of a dispute. It's been years, right? So I may have some of the details wrong, but my recollection was that it was in Utah, maybe even in Salt Lake City. And he ended up being shot and being killed by the sheriff, as it were, as is my recollection. And one of the martyrs of the, in fact, it might have been put to death for murder that many assert he didn't commit, or if he did, he had a justification for. But he was an extraordinary labor organizer. Good man. BBC's Dyke attacks U.S. war reports. This from BBC News. BBC Director General Greg Dyke has attacked U.S. TV coverage. Now, this, you know, kind of following on the footsteps of Berlusconi. I let you know about what's going on there. But then the question is, what's happening here in the United States? What's happened to our media? What's the direction that our media is going? Well, the BBC looks at us from over, you know, across the big pond. And they say, whoa, something weird here. BBC Director General Greg Dyke has attacked U.S. TV coverage of the war in Iraq in a speech at the International Emmys in New York. At the Emmys! He says, and I quote, "News organizations should be in the business of balancing their coverage, not banging the drum for one side or the other," end quote. And he said the need for balance was, quote, "something which seemed to get lost in American reporting during the war," end quote. Now, wait a minute. You mean that we weren't seeing fair and balanced coverage of the war during the war from our embedded reporters? It reminds me of the stories of the embedded reporters in Miami, where, you know, they dressed them up in flak jackets and made them look like cops and gave them helmets and made them feel all very military. And they went out there with the cops, and they reported back. And occasionally, they'd visit the, "We're going to visit the protesters." You know, it's like we're going to go into the cave and see Osama. No, they said, "Well, let's go visit the protesters." And they would show this on TV like it was a very, "Oh, this guy's taking his life in his hands. Can you believe that?" The fact of the matter is that reporters are human beings too. And they want the approval of the people around them to some extent. And in a combat situation, they may not be able to survive without the approval of the people around them. Embedding reporters was a brilliant stroke by the Pentagon. Brilliant. And here we have, he says, "Telling people what they want to hear is not doing them any favors," says the director general of the BBC. "It may not be comfortable to challenge governments or even popular opinion, but that is what we are here to do." Mr. Dyke said TV channels had, quote, "a responsibility to broadcast a range of voices." Now, there's a radical idea.
He pointed out that their news services, BBC World and News 24, had doubled their audiences in the United States last year. Doubled. I mean, they've been on the air in the United States for years, and in 1 year they double their audience. He says this is because Americans want impartial news. I agree. This is Tom Hartman, and what are your thoughts on this? 1-800-TALK, yes, their number. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Ocean water is likely to become more acidic if we keep up our heavy use of fossil fuels. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ocean water absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, and some people hope it will absorb some of the CO2 we generate by burning fossil fuels. But new research suggests too much carbon dioxide could make ocean water more acidic, and the effects on marine life are uncertain. Ken Caldera is a chemical oceanographer for the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. He says the process of CO2 dissolving into the water is completely natural, and the gas and water combine to form carbonic acid. Caldera says when we add more CO2 to the atmosphere, that leads to more carbonic acid in the oceans.
And so large amounts of CO2 are accumulating in the ocean, and it will take many thousands of years for that to be buffered.
Fossil fuels have been the backbone of industrialized society for 2 centuries. Caldera says if their heavy use continues for centuries into the future, the impacts could be dramatic. He says the oceans will become more acidic than they've been for millions of years. He says the biological impacts of that acidity need more research. For example, it might make it hard for clams and corals to get minerals they need to build their shells.
It's been generally viewed that the uptake of carbon dioxide by the ocean was a good thing, because it took CO2 out of the atmosphere and thereby reduced the or slowed the rate of climate change. But if the uptake of CO2 itself has adverse chemical effects on marine biota, then it's at best a mixed blessing.
Caldera's research was published in a recent issue of the journal Nature. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What's wrong with this picture? There's something I'm not seeing here.
Welcome back to the place where smart people get their news. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we're talking about the American media. In fact, our question, have we entered the watch what we tell you to watch zone, and what can be done about it? I have to warn those of you who might be thinking about going to our chat room. I know a lot of you, most of our listeners are on actual terrestrial radio stations, but we have a large number of internet listeners all over the world. And people, of course, who have computers nearby. I mean, some people are just driving in their cars and whatnot. But if you drop into the chat room, well, actually, maybe they've changed the topic now. They were talking about sex. Once again, and what could be sexy? How about, why don't we have the cheerleaders? Why don't we, I think this is so cool. Why don't we have the cheerleaders on Fox News dress up in cheerleading outfits? Biscuit Party says, with pom-poms and short skirts. Can you imagine, you know, Sean Hannity in a short skirt? Yeah, maybe. Yes. As some of their news people, perhaps. I don't, but, oh, now I'm getting into it. Okay, I'm going to stop. The Patriot Act, before I get to that, this story. This really toasted my muffin or whatever. Britain, you know, there are eight, as I recall, eight guys in Guantanamo Bay in our concentration camp. The concentration camp that the United States government paid Halliburton to build in Cuba. Don't you think that's an irony? Castro is a dictator, which he is, by the way. And we're going to build a concentration camp in Castro's backyard. So anyhow, we've got this concentration camp, Camp Delta. And there are eight, as I recall, Brits there, something, a fact that was not lost on the Queen, who is very upset with George W. right now for wrecking her garden. I don't know if you saw that. They didn't just bring in Air Force Chopper One. They also brought in two Black Hawk helicopters, and they wiped out the gardens around Buckingham Palace. I mean, you know, big chunks of them, rare plants that are named after, in some cases, members of the royal family. I mean, you know, the royal families, they have some eccentric folks there, and over the centuries, many of them have, not the kings and queens themselves, but, you know, the royal cousins have gone off on expeditions around the planet and discovered flora and fauna. And they bring these discoveries back, and in some cases, these are endangered plants that have been named after members of the royal family, and they're dead now. Because the Secret Service was tromping all over the place, and the helicopters, the rotor blades chopped up a bunch of the bushes and trees, and they cut down shrubs, and they just, you know, no regard. The royal gardener is in tears. I mean, this is a major scandal in England right now. The Queen says chuffed. I'm not British, so it's extremely PO'd, I think, is the bottom line. The Queen normally doesn't say such things, at least for public consumption. But the Queen is not happy. Not only that, George W. insulted her terribly. He brought five personal chefs. I mean, how many meals does he eat at the same time? He brought five personal chefs to make fajitas. It's like you get an invitation to Buckingham Palace. Well, first of all, he didn't get the invitation. He requested the invitation. But, okay, so you call up Buckingham Palace and you say, hi, I'm a big shot, and I'd like you to invite me to stay there. And they agree. And then you say, but by the way, I don't think your food's going to be any good. So I'm going to bring five of my own chefs. I mean, the Brits are just, they're just shaking their heads. They're just, did you see any of that David Frost interview with George Bush? I was so embarrassed for my nation. David Frost asking George Bush thoughtful questions, and George Bush just, well, you've seen him do it. I mean, it's so inarticulate. It's really embarrassing. I mean, I really would like our president to be a leader, somebody we can be proud of. But anyhow, back to this thing about Guantanamo Bay. Mwazem Beg, one of nine Britons being held at the U.S. base in Cuba. He's 35 years old. Turns out he has confessed to something. They finally got a confession out of Guantanamo Bay, and it was a Brit. What did this guy confess to? He confessed that he was plotting with Al-Qaeda. This was, by the way, the confession came just before George W. went to England. He confessed that he was plotting with Al-Qaeda to attack the House of Commons. Now, this is a guy that was arrested in Afghanistan. That he was plotting to attack the House of Commons with an unmanned drone airplane carrying anthrax. Now, his lawyer, Clive Stafford Smith, a British lawyer, said his client's admission, I'm reading now from an article in The Independent, newspaper in England, said his client's admission was secured after months of interrogation and segregation in Camp Delta at Guantanamo Bay. Mr. Stafford Smith said Mr. Begg, who now faces prosecution by a U.S. military tribunal, which has the authority to put him to death, by the way, they have built a death chamber in this concentration camp, was put under intense pressure to plead guilty quickly because the White House wants to stage quick and successful trials in the run-up to next year's presidential elections. I am quoting from the British press. This is how the rest of the world is looking at us. Mr. Begg has agreed to plead guilty to this absurd story that alleged that he was part of an Al-Qaeda plot to get a drone, an unmanned aircraft, and fly it from Suffolk over London to drop anthrax over the House of Commons, said the lawyer. The Americans must think we are incredibly stupid. The plot was, quote, laughable, end quote, because unmanned aircraft, sophisticated enough for such an attack, were tightly controlled by the armed forces and cost at least $5 million each, not to mention the problem of getting some anthrax. Now, this guy was just a doofus in Afghanistan. He was at one of these, or near one of these, Al-Qaeda training camps. Keep in mind, Al-Qaeda had a big religious component. A lot of people originally went over there from the Western world because they wanted to learn about Islam. This guy goes over there. He gets caught. He just happens to be there when we invade. And after what, 2 years now? Of what his attorney suggests is something close to torture. He now confesses to this absurd thing. And the British press says, that he was put under intense pressure to plead guilty because the White House wants to stage quick and successful trials in the run-up to next year's presidential elections. And you can bet that the right-wing talk machine is going to be talking about. Oh, look at this guy confessed. See? There really are guilty people there. Now, here's the irony. The irony is found LATimes.com, an article by Richard B. Schmidt, a Times staff writer. The irony is that the author of the Patriot Act, a guy named by the name of Viet Dinh, who until May headed the Justice Department's Office of Legal Policy, he's described as the principal intellectual force behind the Patriot Act. Here's the guy who basically was the one who wrote the Patriot Act. This guy, who is now a professor at Georgetown University Law Center, has said he believed the government should reconsider how it designates enemy combatants. He said this at a conference. The guy sitting next to him was Philip Heyman, a Harvard Law School professor. The conference was in Philadelphia. And Heyman, interviewed by the Los Angeles Times, says, the person next to me said, my God, he's saying that the Padilla case is wrong. The Padilla case, of course, Jose Padilla is the American citizen who flew home from Pakistan and was stopped at the airport, was arrested as a material witness, and then was designated an enemy combatant and is now sitting in a prison, as I recall, in South Carolina, unable to even speak to a lawyer. Unable to even speak to a lawyer. I mean, have you read the Bill of Rights recently? No person, this is the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arriving in the land or naval forces or in the militia. In other words, you're under military rule if you are a member of the military, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. That's the double jeopardy provision. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against oneself, himself. That's, you don't have to testify against yourself. Nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property. And he certainly has been deprived of liberty without due process of law, which has been interpreted to mean you have a hearing, you have a lawyer. And then it goes on, Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and causes of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. That is the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And we are holding a United States citizen in prison, and this president has the audacity to say that he does not have right to counsel, that his little Patriot Act trumps the Bill of Rights, the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, put there by the founders and engraved in the law, in the heart of the law of this nation for 227 years. And what's happened is that now the guy who wrote the Patriot Act, or the principal author, I mean, here's the title of the article, is Patriot Act Author Has Concerns. And then the subtitle, this is the article by Richard B. Schmidt, in the Los Angeles Times yesterday, subtitle, Detaining Citizens as Enemy Combatants, a Policy Not Spelled Out in the Act, is Flawed, the legal scholar says. But we're going to do it anyway. Have we stepped into the Twilight Zone here? 1-800-TALK, yes, sir. Number 1-800-825-5937. And William in Florida is on the line with thoughts on this. Hey, William, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to talk about the power of the media, the news media, and how much influence they have. And I feel that the news media has twice as much power or more than any politician.
Oh, sure.
Because that's where people get their ideas. And I think that's why conservatism is so widespread now, because they just dominate the airwaves and people just believe what they hear.
Well, not only that, they also don't let people figure out what conservative means. I mean, they've redefined the term, and they're not upfront about what their agenda is. And you're right. And you know, and it was very smart. It was very slick. Go out and buy the media.
That's what happened. I think maybe Jesse Ventura left politics, I think, because he has his own TV show now. Because I think he feels he has more influence doing that than he ever did as a politician. Do you think that's true?
Well, it may well be. I'm not sure. I can't speak to what kind of influence Jesse Ventura may have had as governor of Minnesota. But I can tell you that the reason that I'm doing this radio program is because after 20 years of writing for magazines and 10 years of writing books and publishing them, I got it that I can reach more people on radio than I can writing. And it's the electronic media now, radio and television, are really hot and they're growing, and it's where there's a lot of energy, it's where there's a lot of juice, and a lot of people simply don't read anymore. I mean, 1 to 2% of Americans have bought more than one book in the last year and read it. It's really quite startling how few people actually read books anymore. So I said, hey, let's get on the air. And here I used to be on the air back in the 60s and 70s, so it's something I know how to do.
Well, it's good to see your show, and there's some other ones that are out. Ed Schultz, I've seen him on a couple of shows, and I guess it's good to see that there's some liberal avenues out there now that are going to even the playing field.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for your call, William. I appreciate it. Caesar in New Mexico, hang on. We'll pick up your call just on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network discussing solutions and not false promises. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of loon looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, right. Well, yeah, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to
go on.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. That was another song by Sarah Marlowe. Great bumper music. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Caesar in New Mexico on the line. Caesar, we got just about 2 minutes here. What's up? Oh, he's gone. Well, in that case, he's been having trouble with his cell. Thank you, Jay. Okay, let's move along then. Bush is making protesters disappear. By the way, Louise reminded me during the break that in my suggestion about cheerleaders, if you're going to have cheerleaders in the media, they should at least dress appropriately. They should wear pom-poms and short skirts and things like that, or carry pom-poms. That George Bush, his only extracurricular activity when he was in prep school was as the head of the cheerleading team. So maybe we should see a different uniform on the cheerleader-in-chief. Anyhow, if Peter Buckley of Oregon, a former Democratic candidate for Congress, attended a speech that George Bush was giving, he actually didn't get into the speech. He attended the crowd outside the speech. He says, "We were not allowed near any kind of position where the president or the media which follows him would see or hear us." Why? Well, because he had a no war for oil sign. "This is not America," says the former Democratic candidate for Congress. "This is not the land of the free and the home of the brave. This is some other country. I want the country I was raised to believe in, a country strong enough for political discourse and debate. Strong enough for political discourse and debate. With leaders courageous and decent enough to have the willingness to listen to all citizens, not just those who parrot their own views. The effort being made to hide political opposition in this country is more than cowardly. It's un-American." Yes, indeed. I agree with Peter Buckley of Oregon. And it is time to take America back. Get registered. Get out there and vote. Get other people active. Get active. Tag. You're it. Carry the message on. Thanks for joining us today. Our program produced by Joe McPherson and Louise Hartman. Engineering in Detroit done by John Lucas and Jay Balicki. Tune in tomorrow. Same time, same place. See you then.